Our final case of the day is Benoisha against Holder. Now we need, once again, Ms. Kleinert, are you here?
I am here.
Or there, as the case may be.
Thank you for the accommodation allowing me to hear telephonically.
Thank you very much. Mr. Gerber, your adversary is still here, but in the ether.
Right, just similar to an advance paroled alien. If you will, and good morning, Your Honor. My name is Malcolm Gerber. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Benoisha. Judge, as I see this, there are two major areas that where we are contend that Mr. Benoisha should be given an opportunity at least to present a case with respect to his application for a cancellation of removal as a battered spouse. The BIA below had found that a waiver could not be coupled with that, or the 212H1C waiver could not be applied in conjunction with the application pending before the court. The immigration judge for cancellation of removal as a battered spouse. In essence, Your Honors, the application is for immigrant status in the United States. Should an applicant be successful, they are instructed to report to CIS with a copy of the order and a green card or evidence of lawful permanent resident status, immigrant status, is accorded to them. The government contends that there was a waiver as to the statutory ineligibility, which we do not concur with. In our brief, we raised the issue of 240A-B-2A-4, nor Roman numeral 4, and the language of the applicable statute. By implication, it's our position that that ruling was challenged with the raising of the issue of application for a 212H waiver under the Immigration and Nationality Act, which applies to crimes involving moral turpitude. It's a waiver for offenses of defined as crimes involving moral turpitude and not necessarily a good moral character. The CMIT and good moral character are interrelated with one another.
They may be interrelated, yes, counsel, but they are distinct subsections. Your argument, as I understand it, seems to be that even after the agency has decided that Romanet 4 applies, something that absolutely precludes adjustment of status, it was required to go on to discuss whether Romanet 3 also applies. And why is there some obligation to engage in mandatory dicta?
I believe that in the given circumstances, Your Honor, it provides an opportunity for the complete record here in this thing.
Are you with Immigration and Naturalization Service against Bagamasbad? The decision of the Supreme Court in 1976, the Third Circuit held that the agency had to discuss each issue in order to clarify the record. The Supreme Court summarily reversed and said there's no such duty, and indeed it's usually imprudent. Now, what you're asking us to do is essentially to do the opposite of what the Supreme Court held in Bagamasbad, and usually that's not a paying game for a court of appeals.
I can appreciate the circumstances, believe me. I would suggest that the arguments raised with regard to the failure to advance our arguments was contrary to the record in these proceedings, that we did raise these issues in our brief and in the supplement and in our reply. With respect to the case that I have not read it, Your Honor, I will, of the Supreme Court, that it may well be, having not read it, I can't argue as to whether or not it's distinguishable before this panel. If I may quickly, the cases cited by the government as to the jurisdictional issue which was raised by them are not applicable and distinguishable from our present position, in that we did raise the issues.
Mr. Gerber, can I just ask you a couple of factual questions? Where is your client today?
My client today? Mm-hmm. My client is in Indiana, Your Honor.
Okay. Is he on parole of some kind? Is he in custody?
He was released from the custody of the from ICE. And placed on supervised release. He returned to the state of Indiana, at which point I believe that the state felt that because he did not comply with their rules, he's presently in the custody of the sheriff of Allen County.
Allen County, okay. And if I was reading this record correctly, after he came to the United States under a visa to attend a school that he never attended, after he got convicted of fraud, and then after he got married and that marriage broke up, he also got convicted of battery?
There was, yes. But I believe, Your Honor, the chronological order is that he married
after he committed the crime, but before he was convicted.
Before he was convicted of the offense.
Tell me about the battery.
Right. The battery was subsequent to his release from federal custody upon serving the
Who was the victim?
That was the victim was his soon-to-be wife, divorced spouse.
The one that he says battered him.
That's right.
And has he finished serving the sentence on that battery?
Yes, that's been concluded.
And we're supposed to say that the BIA should find he has good moral character?
What I'm saying is that, Judge, I believe that he would be given an opportunity to argue his case or put his evidence in. Good moral character, I don't think, is just all the bad things. You have to have some consideration for perhaps good things. He's a very devoted father to his daughter.
Do I understand correctly that I'm frankly new to immigration law, as may be apparent, but do I understand correctly that you think you may be in a position to argue that this fraud conviction was long enough ago that it should be disregarded?
I'm saying that it may be long enough ago that it falls outside of this mandatory 3-year, and that should be given the opportunity to make his case rather than
a preemptive. So if the proceedings are strung out long enough, somebody who would otherwise automatically be excluded might have a chance to nevertheless persuade his way in. Is that the idea here?
Well, this is a CMIT, a crime involving moral turpitude, as opposed to an aggravated felony, Your Honor, for which I don't believe that there would be any timeline. But when Congress designates a specific period of time for good moral character. I believe then there should be the opportunity. Just closing as quickly as I can, because I'm running out of time here, with regard to his petition filed administratively for relief under as a battered spouse, which was denied by the service center director at Vermont, and appealed to the AAO, the Administrative Appeals Office of the Immigration of CIS, denied, or the appeal was dismissed in immigration parlance. There was an appeal filed to the Board of Immigration Appeals. The application for relief as a battered spouse administratively had been pending through the majority of the period of time he was in removal proceedings. The immigration judge prior.
Yes, thank you, counsel.
All right, I thank you, Judge. I'm sorry I ran out of time here.
Ms. Kleinert.
May it please the Court, Tiffany Walters-Kleinert for the respondent, the United States Attorney General. Panuicha petitions for review of the denial of his application for cancellation of removal as a battered spouse, a form of relief for which he's statutorily ineligible, giving his concession that his conviction for the offense of false application for a Social Security card is a crime involving moral turpitude. Panuicha is statutorily ineligible because he is removable under 237A, and the board needed, the agency did not need to address whether or not he would also be statutorily ineligible for lacking good moral character. Benawija had argued that his conviction should not be considered for purposes of good moral character because it's outside of that 3-year window. And that 3-year window, though, is entirely distinct from the subsection that deals with statutory eligibility for being removable under 237A. That section does not have that 3-year window. So those arguments don't apply in terms of whether or not he would be statutorily ineligible under 240A(b)(2)(a).
Don't even bother. It's too long. Just say Romanet 4 or Romanet 3 and skip all the other stuff.
So regardless of the time period, he's still removable under 237A because he's conceded that his crime is the conviction for a crime involving moral turpitude. In regard to his argument that the 212H waiver would somehow make him eligible for cancellation of removal, the board and the immigration judge addressed that. The language of the 212H waiver is very clear that it applies when an alien is applying or reapplying for a visa, for admission to the United States, or for adjustment of status. So the statute does not provide for it to be used in conjunction with cancellation of removal. Given that Benawija has essentially conceded that subsection Roman numeral 4 applies to him and hasn't argued why 212H should waive this ground of statutory ineligibility given the clear language of the statute, he is not eligible for cancellation of removal. In addition, Panuichi raises arguments regarding his I-360 application. And to the extent that he raises those arguments in these proceedings, this court lacks jurisdiction under Fonseca Sanchez v. Gonzalez because they occurred in visa petition proceedings, which are entirely separate and apart from the removal proceedings from which this petition for review comes. So the court would lack jurisdiction to consider his due process claims in that regard. If the court has no further questions.
Ms. Kleinert, I just had one question. In fact, it wasn't clear in the record that I reviewed. When was the divorce finalized? Was it 05 or 06, or do you have reference to another year?
I believe the date provided was May 7th, 2003. Although I'm not sure if that's the date that the divorce decree was. Oh, let's see, it's right here. Oh, I think it was finalized in 2005.
Thank you.
That's 233 of the administrative record.
Thank you.
It looks like that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kleiner.
Again, appreciated your accommodation.
Thank you, Mr. Gerber. The case is taken under advisement.